This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, everyone. Okay, we're going to get this meeting started. Technology needs to be way simple. Laptops, iPads, all laptops. Okay, I'm from my example, so I'm calling this meeting to order.
Here?
Wait. Nice to meet everyone. Speaking very well today.
Present.
Here.
Present.
Duncan and Patty.
Here, and it's Katie.
Esther Benjula.
Here.
Edward Sinan.
Here.
Henry Reed.
Present.
Jennifer Mansell.
Here.
John Montgomery.
Yep.
Joseph Mullen.
Here.
Present.
Oh.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Anaya Lewis.
Here.
Morgan Mayer.
Here.
Cole Wilson.
Here.
Vicky Reddy. Here. Valerie Alaska.
Here.
Dana Dowling. There's 23 members. Herman, thank you so much. Okay. The time is
4:54.
The time is 4:54. We have 23 members present, and I'm officially calling this meeting to order. So first I'll start with the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaiabana Paiute. The Gaiabana are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the meaningful history of the Gaiabana dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaiabana people, past and present, to the lands of war.
Okay, next we'll go into the approval of minutes. Motion to approve these minutes by unanimous consent.
Second.
Perfect. Is there a consent? Okay. Minutes are approved. Next, we will go into next, I will give it to Samantha for our overview.
Thank you, President Ovia. Okay, open microphone down to community members. If you have anything to say, I know ears. If you wanted to mention, yeah, so come up. Yep, done.
I just wanted to tell you guys that we're back, and now we're peer mentoring rather than counseling. And the main difference of that is that peer mentoring is more like supporting students in a peer-to-peer manner, where it's more informal, and we're going to be having peer mentor hours in different locations across the campus that will really provide a greater mental health outreach for the community. And yeah, you can find more on our website when you're here somewhere.
I'll also the transfer of elections.
are coming up for all those who are interested. Really quickly, the dates are Thursday, the 9th at 7:30 p.m. RPCC in the conference room, which is RPCC 2, will be the first info session for SA, transfer, and freshman folks who are interested in joining us. And on Friday, the 10th, next day at 5:30 p.m., will be another info session. That one will be 402 River Street Hall, which is the lovely room to the right. Once you have the River Street Hall, you are a freshman or transfer, you want Zoom, whatever, and are interested, this is the first step into joining all these lovely folks here. Again, that's the 9th at 7:30 p.m. on BCC, the 10th at 5:30 p.m. and 402 River Street Hall. Yes, Lucas.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we're going to have our student assembly meeting at RPCC next week to coincide with the info session. I think that's what's been done in the past a lot. But I'm curious
about that. That sounds lovely to me. I don't think that's my authority, but the meeting is intentionally after the SA,
right?
To give people a chance to walk over from here to RPCC if we don't have it.
I'd encourage the chair to look at scheduling the meeting for our BCC.
Yeah, I can take that. So really it's here, but I can get to that, but it doesn't seem too hard. Anyone else? Or open mic, so it's community members. So you can do the next.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So I'll close the open microphone down and pass it back to President. Okay, so I'm going to open it up to any announcements. Okay. Delegate
Ryan Meyer. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to bring up something. You know, I noticed that we have a lot of COVID cases recently, and I definitely commend the Resolution 16 COVID. But I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, we're ambassadors, we're on the student assembly. I think about TNC to make sure that we're being responsible. Like, we need to be like wearing our masks as much as we can. And that would just encourage everybody to be able to follow the situation. And, you know, just keep that in a high standard because, you know, these cases are getting worse. Like I said, just tremendous resolution. And definitely looking forward to these cases here.
I have a quick thing, so just as an announcement to encourage anyone joining on Zoom or anyone in the gallery, just make sure when you're talking today that you're talking to your microphone. So if you're not in front of one, just ask them. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, next we'll go to initiatives. We have Vanta. Thanks, President Nguyen. So this one's about the illustrated and first speaking more with the president, Representative Baker, there you go. Thank you for bringing it up. But basically it's about EMS and how they're offering free training on Sundays. So if you know folks that are interested, please feel free to reach out to them or reach out to Morgan or I next week. But this is like a really call that you can personally or level or here in our training. Make sure to leverage this free resource. Thanks, back to President.
I think you have a question for Delegate Wade.
Can you just repeat the point of contact person?
So you can either be EMS if you go on the website, like on the EMS, maybe you'll find it, or you can reach out to Morgan or I if you want like a liaison to have someone make that connection.
Thank you.
Is that all?
Yes.
Thank you.
Perfect. And next we are on to presentations and forums. And we have a presentation on UHRB and
meeting notes. Yeah, it says the meeting notes will be doing.
We have to put it in.
Oh, and James, if you'd like to come up to the table. Just right there.
Everyone hear me? Did everyone hear me online and in person? Awesome. Hi, so I'm James Richards. I'm the new chair of the CJC. So as some of you may know, we have a new code of conduct this year. Obviously this requires appointment of a new university hearing. Yeah.
1 second. We're gonna turn off the mic on.
All right.
If you can keep going.
All right, does someone know how to put full screen, like put this presentation in full screen? Is this it? All right, sweet.
Point of information, Carson, what do you say at this point? Like, what is the parliamentary procedure if you don't get out of the speaker because you can't hear them or something?
Point of personal privilege.
All right. So basically, yeah, the new code of conduct requires appointment of a new hearing review panel. So,
would you mind just waiting a second? We have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so So all the recommendations that I'm going to give right now are just to help you provide guidance. You're free to go your own way if you want. Just keep in mind that the deadline for the application launch that we want all the assemblies to be to launch their applications by is September 10th. So yeah, you can add any tweets or include the new process if you want. We're just explaining how the GPS is and how the work during the summer. And just to provide some guidance. So first of all, the way that we solicit applicants is kind of important because we need obviously enough interest to generate like a solid pool of applicants. So the way that we phrased it was that it's a new exciting leadership opportunity. It's not like a request for student volunteers or something like that, because then it seems like the students are kind of, you know, taking on a new obligation without any return. This is, it's a good opportunity for resume building, to learn these skills that you'll pick up in the role. So, it's obviously important that it's going to be inaugural UHRP too, because I feel like the way that this pans out will kind of shape UHRP for years to come. So basically, what the UHRP does is it's kind of a quasi board of jurors, and they basically help make decisions within the formal hearing process for students accused of code violations. We just listed some pertinent skills that could be earned from partaking in this process, which might appeal to students just in terms of personal growth and in terms of resume building. So as I said, the assemblies and the Senate are tasked with soliciting applications and submitting them to the director, to staff and the majority. So it's going to be 25 students, 15 faculty, and 15 staff. And the director is going to appoint the recommendations from each assembly. So as I said, the deadline is September 10th. We're planning to run the applications from the 10th to the 24th. That will probably give students enough time. Reflect on it, submit their applications, and for each of the assemblies to So there are some qualifications which are unavoidable. There should be no person on the UHRP who is at the same time a member of the USA and PSA or an employee of the offices of assemblies. That's a conflict of interest. interest, obviously. There's a commit to a 2-year term because usually we pass on remaining UHRP members from the previous year, but because this is a new program, having someone in the board. So usually the deadline for that is to be the first, but we have to move this over to September because obviously, otherwise, we have to wait for it all. We have to commit to the two term. And then these are just some attributes of applicants that we thought were essential to successful interviews. So obviously implicit bias is if they put the only hand in personal statements that have some biases that are coming up right tonight. We look for cooperative students, working concise and clear. We don't want people who are using the UHRP as an opportunity for advocacy. We want to say that it's a mutual role that supposed to follow the orders it's written on as it's supposed to be. So training this year will be heavily focused on diversity. And then also just not a qualification itself, they have to be available for one of these training times, which should be hard to do. So the actual application materials that we asked for in previous years, there's been a full statement of interest, which was a lot longer than there is this year. We kind of condensed it for the sake of time down to just a few questions, which I'll show in the next slide. But we actually solicited the statement of interest questionnaire as well as the resume, the student's resumes. We ended up not even looking at the resume, considering that. We kind of use them as a tiebreak when the statement of interest didn't really reveal any of your winner. But I think the statement of interest is probably where the students some character will come out a little bit clearly, so kind of prioritize that. The statement of interest, which I'll show you in the next slide as an example, is the one that we use for the UHRP for summer 2021. And like I said, I kind of just condensed the old application to ask just the most crucial and pertinent questions. And about the resume, as I said, we didn't really want it necessary to so look at the resume for each and every student. We looked every time, just look at it and himself will provide answers to the students of the as well from that personal statements. So this is the idea for your response statement interest questionnaire. There's really only three questions that you have to, or the students will have to answer. They're kind of general questions, but we're looking to just see how the students' logical reasoning skills are and the reasons for wanting to get involved and how they respond to things like code, revision of code, and that's about it. Questions?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation, Mr. Richards. I just wanted to ask to clarify on the part about conferences with us members if we want to join. Is that just the executive committee because they're doing the actual decision making of what students are going to be accepted, or is it all any SA members?
I recommend Katie.
Question I know a little more appropriate for the person, but I'm wondering if you can give us access to your PowerPoint, any other digital documents that might be relevant, just so we have access to review them later if possible.
Yeah, definitely. So I didn't know if you guys were going to find this useful or not. Like I said, you can disregard it if you want, but yeah, definitely deliver that. I'll email the questionnaire and then I'll email the entire PowerPoint of the questionnaire, which is a separate one.
You can also send it.
So the concrete differences just are going to pertain to the provisions of the code. There are some substantive changes which the new panel is going to, for the most part, it's exactly the same, just and obviously the substance of the code is a little bit So I think it's just to distinguish the old board from the new panel and just to clarify the fact that they were working with that.
So the panel is just
a
case of the panel and
sorry, what was that?
So cases go the panel and then the board?
No, so the board is the, that was the, this is the new equivalent of the Google chart to the board, because that was just under the local code. The last board that we appointed was for summer 2021, and from now on, it was going to be using the numbers here.
So if a student was accepted to the board, that means there's no board.
If they're accepted in summer 2021, then there's still an ongoing process from violations that occurred last year. But as far as violations that occurred in this new school year, that's going to be in the position of the UHRP.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, so I guess I'm wondering what the recruitment fail saying that there's 25 students at the bottom of the old board had a really hard time having enough students to serve. And what we're still seeing in all of the cases that we office is trying to resolve the old board where we have whatever it is, probably more than 25. So what is that process that you see as a fail saying that don't get any applicants or don't get enough applicants, something like that?
So we're confident we'll have enough applicants this week, just you know, based on the training that we saw during the summer, which it was an long application process where it wasn't as much time to apply. And we could have probably put those applicants. But if not, I believe the director would be glad to be the panel members.
I have a question. So I know you said that this is the process that you just said about you. Is there anything that you would like to modify the specification of the designs so that we love this for every project's points?
So wait, you agree to
it? Yeah, just on our end as a student assembly, what would be the next steps?
So basically, I mean, like I said, if you're going to apply the, you know, the advice that I've given today, the next step would be to put the application together and then solicit to the whole student body with, you know, by the time it really is the deadline that they're giving. And then as long as that application is launched by the time, all you have to do is select the applicants.
Thank you.
Yep.
Representative Smith?
Yeah, I guess. Who set the date of the deadline? Yeah, that seems like, you know, we're in the learning office with a week's notice. It's kind of a lot of stress at the work out of assembly. So we'd still be learning what the process is and then it's one of the application.
Well, it's been pretty rough for all of us because the new code requires needed, you know, hearing panel. And we obviously couldn't see students before the end of the summer because that would be considered less terrible than the analysis. So we all had to do the process. Other assemblies haven't been online as well here. But yeah, so the technical just really a diagnostic deadline because we need that as soon as possible. It's quite a bit of an after for the student. So I'm happy.
Thank you. I
don't know if you set the deadline for that, but just a question in assessing.
Jane.
Jane.
It's John.
John.
First of all, thank you very much for coming here. So just reviewed the essentially transform what it's doing. So I wonder, do you guys review hearing all the cases that brought up and treated by university, like including, let's say, someone had a violation for academic interpretations like that. So do you guys hear all of that?
It's just any violation at all.
So I wonder if one member within the review panel was engaged with one of these cases.
So that would be a definite conflict of interest. So there's the selection that we make for the panel members, and then there's also some alternatives which are
there will be reserve amendments.
Thank you so much, James.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to next we're going to business of the day. So we're here to do business. And the first resolution we have on the floor is resolution. The co-sponsors of the resolution, their resolution next.
I can. So resolution 10 is up to the election rule. So, resolution 10 is to amend some election rules. You all task the DOE with the election submitting to electric fees every semester. What you will see here are two main changes. The first is that we've edited some of the language that gives the election committee the ability to switch to online if that's necessary, which means at the moment it's fighting to be in person. If you look at stuff that's random, I promise you that there's. We edited this like crazy. It's just the most recent version of it. So you see something in red that doesn't mean that's the only thing that was changed. A lot of spaces, we just got rid of things that say website. You have to submit this online. It says you're planning to do everything in person, but in the event, I was told there's no warning, you go straight to red, we have the ability to switch to online and not freeze like 2 years ago. The other important change in here is about the appealing the decision of the election committee in the event of a challenge. Part of the new code is that JCCs no longer exist. And so that takes effect as of like a month and a half ago. And we don't have the full process done for that yet, but the thing that we have at the moment is there's going to be somebody that's not myself, not nobody on the election committee, and nobody involved in the process is going to decide. Process at the moment, the Office of the Assembly is working with the law school with the Shine Institute and Common Resolution to figure out what that system looks like. I promise to you that there will be something in place before we get to challenges, but the short of it is that I don't know, the JCCs no longer exist. That kind of throws everybody for a loop. The GPSA also does not yet know what their process is going to look like. And so once we have some information and we can do something, I will share it with all of you. Presentation or forum or something. But I can promise you that myself, the elections committee, and anybody involved in the elections process is not going to be involved in any appealing scenarios whatsoever. So, yeah, those are the two big changes. There's, I think, other smaller things in here. If somebody minds wants to ask, I'm more than happy to. You'd be surprised if I put the work last time.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me? Okay. I have a couple of small questions. So first of all, under the social media area, pre-definition subsection today, it names what is not considered social media. I was wondering if you considered Facebook Messenger, if you could maybe add that to the line.
That's all, I'm sorry, what line was it again?
Sorry, okay. So on the third page, right above the page.
Gotcha. I guess I had not personally thought of Facebook Messenger, but I guess I assumed that was a part of Facebook and which you considered social media.
It is a separate app, and okay. I'm aware of some international students who prefer to use that one. As well as other students who don't use Facebook.
So, I'm more than happy to have the subsection AB amended to the Facebook Messenger.
Point of information, we possibly add other like messaging through other apps, as like, for example, like using Instagram Messenger. I guess it's the same thing that with their own, but like messaging parts of social media apps and interact with students and like phone numbers also use those types.
I would disagree with that just because Facebook Messenger is an entirely different app, whereas Instagram Messenger is built into the same app. You can't really separate the two. I think that like anything that it's like the social media app itself, like Snapchat, Instagram, anything like that, should be classified as social media, not messaging app, or else we would basically be banned from all social media.
This might be, I guess I can project a bit more. Recently, Facebook has like combined Facebook and Instagram Messenger and added a little bit of the Instagram app and Facebook app. So I think it's a little bit redundant to specific internet messenger. I would more recommend just having a different social media messaging apps, or just that Facebook Messenger is probably different from Facebook followers.
Although it is available.
You're not recognized right now. I'll recognize you now. Even though you can access it through Facebook app, it's still a separate app, and no other social media platforms, to my knowledge, have that. It's pretty much the same system as like it's a lot of the largest these other apps that are separate channels. So you get more as the pretty, but I think it was separate platform, but
I guess my question for you, Patrick, is just while we're on this discussion, can you just kind of clarify the intent of like, I guess, what is your opinion on like the difference between a messaging versus like a social media app, and where do you think, like, as we're discussing this kind of internally, the lines are? Because my concern is if you try to allow like all messaging with the social media apps or like none of them. I just think, I don't know, I would love your opinion.
Yeah, so the social media stuff comes from a challenge we had in the spring about people posting on social media. And the reason, and really the line we're trying to draw with all the different apps that I mentioned, or whatever, to the specifics, is whatever the case was, we were trying to classify social media as something in which if I post, anybody can see it. And I know that there's Instagram accounts, Twitter accounts, and that type of thing. But we're trying to define is that if I throw something out into the void and people can access that beyond like email or text message where you intentionally send it to one person, that's what we're trying to just classify as social media.
So would you classify, think that messaging, first like direct messaging, no matter what format it's in, whether it's with me, Instagram, Twitter, which we consider all of those private messaging, as long as it's like direct person to person?
The person to person is what I can try and find back another. So the reason you treat it in this was with the challenge, which somebody posted something on social media, and it's about how you can express support for other folks. Also student the university's IT policies. You go to 196, line 196, it talks about electronic communication and social media. Part of that is to separate the different like, reasons it says email and text messages. There, it's listed as a separate social media. There's one I can't remember exactly, that talks about social media in relation to campaign ethics. The reason it's just the line we're trying to draw, it's part of the challenge, part of it is just from looking up what is the actual definition of social media. This is if you post something like out there, that's social media. If you directly message somebody or a group, which is direct message to however many people in the group here, if you email somebody, it's direct person to person comment. as opposed to person to the board? How's that? What happened? I think I'm going to double check that you're not allowed to campaign while you're collecting petitions.
Yeah.
You're allowed to ask folks for a signature, but if you say something like, I am Patrick, I believe everyone in my life will share it. That's fine.
I mean, like, for petitioning, are you allowed to sign the relationship through your email or your
WhatsApp? You're allowed to, but you can't because it's going to be a paper form. So, well, I'll have a letter, so assuming that nothing happens in the next 3 weeks, it's a paper form. And so you won't be able to, like, message that to someone.
Okay, I actually have a question for you. So I saw our re-election procedures in check B. So if it crossed out that members of the elections committee
Right, so that change is mostly their refreshment transfers. Part of it is that our hope with the committee in general is that all the committees on the ESA are supposed to get folks involved with the community with the ESA, and a lot of freshman transfers might be interested in what's in the process. We think this is a phenomenal way for them to learn it. I guess I can disclose that I haven't signed it both to me that says that I'm going to tell anybody, and they send a confidential form to the Office of the Assemblies that is submitted all the way up that they're not going to say anything. The only sensitive information that we receive are personal to exact specific, like, violations, like, they don't know what goes on in Canada, but somebody else brings a violation against them. The reason that changes there is because we want to give folks the chance to get involved with the ESA. If they join the human, they see what it's like, and now they want to get involved. And I understand that we talked about this with the two town halls that we had in the summer. I had not thought about it, and sort of happy to give it, this might be a way to new students, especially transfer students, to get involved who might not want to jump right into elected office when they haven't made a lot of friends yet. But the purpose of this is to encourage folks to get more involved.
So follow up from that, sorry, and I will pass it to other people today. It's the fact
I was just going to say, I understand from that perspective, but I guess part of what you're saying is all of you are supposed to know this election is pretty intentional as well. I mean, I don't expect all of you, but there's no information that you get on the elections that you have on the other people. You do have something in the challenge hearing, I understand that, but there's nothing that a student on the elections committee learns that could possibly give you without automatically disqualifying them.
Okay, Representative Baker. Thank you. So I agree with the President and OEA. I am also hesitant to remove this clause at this time. To your point that this is a way for freshman transfers to get involved, they can still run for the SA in year after since they are younger students. Say you serve an elections committee your spring of freshman year, you take that next sophomore year off, and then junior year when sophomore spring join the student assembly. So, but yes, all of the other changes I'm completely on board with, but if there's other opposition out there to this clause, I would put a favor upon a motion to amend to not remove it.
Yeah, If you just have any concerns with the higher leadership stuff, I think that's fine. I won't say you can't run for president or vice president. The point of it is to encourage communication, because if we look behind us, there's no one. And this is a way for freshmen transfers to get involved. We don't want to push them away and say, okay, we have to wait now to change before we can get involved.
I guess my question is, I know there's a lot of talk about potential cheating, but has there ever been a case where any situation remotely close to this has come up, to where someone who like this committee was using any type of information to get ahead? Because I feel like what is the honest point of trying to, I don't know, trying to change the rule back if there's not any precedent to have a rule in the first place?
As far as I understand, this rule came about in 2018. After the whole essay thing.
Representative Overton.
I kind of see like where both you're coming from. So could I propose my own amendments? Or like maybe if the concern here is to get freshman transfers at all, maybe we can just make an exception for them in this role. Would that be perfect? Sorry, like, because I know that it's either like keep it or like don't keep it, but we possibly like amend it to bar like people unless they are a freshman before transfers. Was that a motion to amend or was that just a suggestion? It's a suggestion. I don't know how Patrick feels about this.
Yeah, right. The purpose of it is to try and get more folks involved. If you are all concerned that folks of the elections committee can somehow have an advantage in running for a higher office, that's fine. I don't believe that's true, but if you want to look at it that way, that's fine. I would just advocate that the purpose of this change is to help students get better involved. It is something that happened in two separate meetings in the forum that I invited all of them to come on and chat about. It was actually worked out between most of the folks who were here. So this isn't some unilateral trying to do anything. It's we're trying to get folks involved. And this was the way that some of y'all suggested we do this.
Would this previously change the past year from year to semester?
Yeah, it was changed when the fall happened, when everything that moved to the fall 2020, it was changed to say the semester.
So it used to be a year.
Correct. It used to be that if you were a freshman joining the committee and you walked on in September of 2019, you couldn't run for SA office until spring of 2020.
Representative Katie. I appreciate this fruitful discussion. My suggestions are a little unrelated to the pre-discussion of the elections committee as a council motion point yet. I just want to go back to this suggestion that I'm about to get. Back to the discussion about social media. I think it's a possible solution if there seems to be two different views on this. If we don't want to get app specific, we can just merely mention peer-to-peer direct messaging as something there. I don't have the actual policy. So if someone else wants to make a motion, I suggest we say that messaging.
Representative Eisen.
I would like to move to amend line.
I motion to amend the language on line 76 to read as follows. Email, group me, WhatsApp, Signal, SMS texting, and private messaging features on other applications are not social media.
Okay. I motion to vote. Is that correct? Yeah. Or you mean a misconception? Yes, good introduction to that.
Okay, so that was question about the percent. Can I have all in favor of Mr. Patrick's? Okay, I have 21. Oh, sorry. Can I have all those in consent? Can I have all abstaining? Okay, I have 21 to 0 to 1. That was representative content as well. Okay, so that amendment sustains. Representative Mullen.
Thank you, President. Thank you, the Chair. I just have a question regarding the final section of Article 2 in regards to the designated at-large seats for the President, Executive Vice President. We had this year, to my knowledge, I don't know if it's happened in previous years, but we had to take the third place in the Executive Vice President, if you're familiar, I'm sure, with the situation, to then be in the designated seat. Is that process laid out in these rules, or is it implied by these rules? Because it would be good, I think, to have it explicitly delineated.
Yes, so we're fixing the process from last time because nothing happened written for what happens if no one appears. So if the system says here, and I apologize for all the comments and semicolons that are in there, so it basically says that there are four undesignated at-large seats. Two of them are just their own races. They happen on their own time, on their own night. It's two separate races. There is two more seats, and there is one for the presidential runner and one for the executive vice presidential runner. Now, it intentionally says here at 285, in the event that there are no other candidates for a particular race, regardless of race list or why, the seat shall go to the next highest ranked candidate, original undesignated. So what that means is if three people run for president, one wins, and for whatever reason, whether they're disqualified or whether they step down or they don't want, if those two people are not in the race, that seat, the presidential at large, will go to third place in the overall at large. It's not going to shoot over to the people. So that is what was supposed to happen last time, and the people who did not say that. So now we have to.
Thank you.
Yep.
Representative Williams.
Hi, so this is at a separate point. At Y 326, that's probably the easiest to connect. So I think we actually discussed this before. So I see that we're now completely striking having any buildings on campus. Now I know we're moving into a more technical focus. Campus, but I feel that for those accessibility, equal opportunity, I would suggest that we have like at least one booth established possibly in Orange Street as a way to allow students who maybe need accommodations, who wouldn't want to vote online or need to vote physically, to have some sort of option.
Yeah, so that line is crossed out. It's been crossed out for 4 years in a row. There has never been in-person elections as long as I've been a student here. I don't know what that looks like. I fully understand what you're saying before. I don't know when this is something to do with assemblies, if even if something along the lines of during your voting period, you may go to a 109 day hall and we'll help you vote in any way that you can help you with any sort of SES accommodations if that's necessary. But in person voting booths have existed for at least 2 years.
Okay. Is it like publicized that it's an accommodation or is that just
something that's not? I mean, we can have that, right? Just to the top of the line as well.
What about accessibility here?
No, can we add to the, just when the ballot gets sent out, we add something at the top that says if you need any help or accommodation, I thought it's on the line, they all. that.
That we all do amend that.
No, 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 that's not the yeah.
Thank you.
Just one
comment.
Yep.
Just a point of clarification for anyone who has a similar concern. Students with Learning Services does give out special laptops that with different accommodation software included in that for whatever reason beyond the classroom. It could be personal, it could be something like club or academic organization, non-academic organization related. So if the concern is to help with that, there's a lot of avenues for that through Students with Learning Services that, of course, you know, the conflicts of text with another. And then similarly, there also are many accommodated laptops, computers on campus. I don't know specifically which ones we want to be as laptops and computers. There are some options in making this technology specifically, not specific software.
And I can work with you to get one of those laptops that they haul for all three things.
And we very good.
Representative Ramire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just going to add, I think on the accessibility, you know, if we're worried about voting online, you have a great point that kind of brought up those resources are available. But in addition, I believe on any website at the bottom, it does say like contact the webmaster if you need any like social accommodations or trouble accessing this web page or, you know, any Cornell, there is the email that you can contact or you have a blog to go to. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, that should be at the bottom of the voting as that's the Cornell.
Hi everyone. I don't think I'm on right now. I would strongly recommend previously discussing about since the election committee I don't know if this is going to be where I'm from. I would also maybe propose a motion to amend, but instead of like having it back, maybe just like moving into the semester or something here, just to kind of like make it easier for freshmen to transfer.
It was a semester last year. This is a diagram that I was in from years ago. You'll notice in all the red lines, there's diamond surfaces because it's multiple sections.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
I motion to amend to put lines 301 and 302 back, but keeping it in the semester.
Second.
I move to vote.
Okay, can I have all those in favor? Okay, that's 14. Do I have all those opposed? That is 6. All those abstaining? Okay, that will be a vote 14-6-1 on our back.
Is it to the previous question?
Yes.
Oh,
this is a debate.
Point of order, point of parliamentary inquiry. Previous questions to end debate, not to end discussion. Right?
To vote on the current issue at hand, whether that is an amendment and to include amendments or to vote on the actual bill. If there isn't currently an amendment on the floor, if right now there is not, then you would move the previous question to vote on that issue. If there was an amendment on the floor, you would still move the previous question, and that question would be the amendment itself. Does that make sense? Also, the difference between the point of order, if this helps, and a point of parliamentary inquiry is that a point of order requires the chair to rule and to either strike it from the record or not. A point of parliamentary inquiry
Okay, so all those in favor? Questions? And this is the resolution at large.
We're voting on the whole matter. I mean, the whole resolution.
If this comes, basically, and this is for the chair as well. It helps if the chair specifies, which the chair should specify, we are now voting on resolution X, Y, Z before the vote occurs. If you need the previous question, it's usually the chair's job to keep track of what current question is at hand, or I can do it and she could ask me. But either way, what is at stake right now is the previous question, which is the passage of this as a whole.
Okay, so we're now voting on resolution 10. All those in favor? Okay, all those opposed. All those abstaining. So that is a vote of 20-1 on the resolution passes. Congratulations, Chapter. Okay, now we will be taking resolution 11, co-sponsors of this resolution, not the resolution. Motion to amend the agenda to discuss resolution 13 before resolution 11.
Second.
Was that a motion to go by unanimous consent?
No.
Yes. By unanimous consent, okay. Is there any consent? Perfect. So we can go to resolution 13, now discuss. Thank you. So the purpose of resolution 15 is to resolve the research academy for some historical context. This committee and originally the position was created in 2020. The position was then removed in December 2020. The committees remain intact. Committee was created to serve a purpose for a certain student assembly that we no longer have today. Evidenced by there's only like three members here who were on that essay, which is me, Smith, and Bill Watson. So membership is all different, culture all different. I do not believe that we need this committee anymore. I just view it as another layer of bureaucracy that gets in the way of people work. I think that we are succeeding this year and will continue to succeed at holding ourselves accountable and doing that collectively as well. The research part of the committee is already fulfilled by the executive archivist, so originally. When this committee functioned well, its first 3 months of existence before COVID, essay members who asked the committee research to do research put into the resolutions, but the executive archivist can do that still. And yeah, all in all, I just not believe that this committee needs to continue to exist, and if the essay in the future believes that it's needed again because of a culture shift or governance shift, then it can be reinstated cool as it was. So as you see, mine's good before the 83, which outlined the committee and its responsibilities has been improved from our governing documents. Representative Overton.
Thank you, Chair. I just had a question for you. You said that you were on the student assembly as well, this was one, but did it, I guess I'm asking, like, what exactly, like, did they take, like, drastic actions? Like, was it just, like, maybe that was present to prevent things, or were there, like, circumstances that have made drastic measures and do something beyond just like, we'll keep you accountable if you do something wrong. Did something actually happen to?
Thank you for that question. So just for some more context, the committee was created January 2020, and then we all know COVID happened March 2020. So this committee was only really functioning for about 2 months. So there wasn't really a lot that they were doing, but the whole intent, it was all circumstantial, very important, very necessary. It had its purpose in time, but I just don't think it has that purpose anymore. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I guess just to add comments as well, I think the first thing that the committee did was ask Vice President of the Assembly, failing to meet their duties in certain steps. So you've seen the Assembly, in fact, more recently act as an executive board to power act issues like that. So even with this position in place, we're kind of quiet. First things that they can make it are taking action.
Yeah, this is a clarifying question. So this resolution is getting rid of the research accountability. It's also getting rid of the RNA, elected position.
Yeah, so there's no VP of RNA. There's just the committee chair. So since there's no committee, there's no chair.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I think that's like a resolution.
Representative Leo.
So I think really, do you agree? Are you have some concerns about like specificity? So, like the line 48, it says that we can bring it back. It will be reinstated to people if the SA deems it necessary. Like, what would consider or what would constitute deeming it necessary? Because there's like vague mention of dysfunction, but is there anything specifically that should like risk a trigger for us to be like, well, we need to bring this back?
Well, my thought was just that the majority of us thought that, oh, this committee would be useful right now, then we would just bring it back.
I appreciate your point on the part of the speaker. I would just like to echo the agreement that, especially because I think as a body of folks, obviously, quite a lot of responsibilities that we have here, I understand the desire to always want to have more efficient, less bureaucratic sticky boards. That obviously is the first, we want to be as much as possible. But if we're very good in the admitting that there could very easily be a need. I don't quite see the purpose now restricted. I would be the first one to admit that there are a lot of committees, there are a lot of functions here, and a lot of sometimes easier as the SA want to simplify things. I can't say specifically exactly where research can come from, but I'm curious if you're admitting that there's a possible move in the future and having no recourse of acknowledging or measuring it is one.
I don't personally think that we're going to see a need for this. My thought was like something in 10 years happens. Like, I didn't think any of us would be present for that. I don't need to have that line in there. I just put that in.
Okay. I think that if you're recognizing or even just if we can think about ourselves, there could be a need to have a PSA. We should then not lose something. Again, my issue is more with the fact that we're not hitting why we do or don't need it with the same thing.
Representative Mullen.
Thank you. Yeah, I have very similar concerns to what's been said before. I'm not really certain that this provides a process after the abolition of this committee for what accountability looks like. Representative Smith brought up the fact that it's going to basically start getting handled by the executive committee to police the student assembly by itself. And that seems like a lack of kind of an independent process So I don't really know if this is established. I get the reasoning behind it. I don't know if this is established in the process. The research side, you know, as you've laid out, we don't really need that anymore. It's the accountability side of it. So I can understand the, you know, the need to dissolve the research committee, because we don't need that. But accountability, I don't know, you mentioned like in 10 years, I think we've always been accountable. It doesn't just disappear because we've decided we don't need it. So I get the research side, but I think that we do need to continue having accountability in some capacity.
So I'm just going to say it straight, and I'm pretty sure people on the essay last year agree with me. This committee was just really dysfunctional the past year. Like I said, it was really good for its first 2 months of existence, and then after that, it just didn't do anything at all. So this is my attempt at putting, like I said, a dysfunctional committee out of its misery until it's actually deemed necessary.
Sorry, just to interrupt. I understand that, but couldn't that be attributed less to the structure of a function of the committee and more to who was on the committee at the time? Because to me, it seems like we're saying this committee as an abstract, the committee itself is dysfunctional, but potentially it's just who is in charge of it at the time. Maybe it needs to be restructured and reformed, but I don't necessarily agree that an accountability committee just by its existence is inherent.
But I am going to recommend Representative Lieberman, and then I would strongly smell my conclusions to vote, but still have my conclusions and put them in the next slide.
Okay, so I'm going to echo what's said about research. SA members should be doing also our own research and resolutions. Should not be giving it to someone else saying do this research for us for our resolutions. Secondly, since its inception, it's always been here to even, why should the SA ever, even if it's not being run by an SA member, it's still up to the executive cabinet to approve the membership list of the RA committee. And in fact, that's not happened for an entire semester, and the committee was just sitting there not allowed to do anything. So if we seriously want accountability, to create a system where the SA really isn't involved in it. Because it does not make sense to have an accountability committee that even if it's not run by the SA still has power over like if it exists or not. If an issue arises, it should be more of an ad hoc creation of independent students to prevent an issue. It doesn't make sense to just keep this committee on standby, having members speak by the SA, then take care of issues like when they come up. That just makes no sense to me, and I in favor of dissolving it, because even if you want to argue it's for accountability, it's not doing that right now. The members are being by the SA, and the SA doesn't like the membership of the opposition at the beginning of last semester. They just refuse for an entire semester to approve the committee membership. So are you saying that when an issue arises, that actually they should seek out a third party, like the electricity units?
Yes. I would like to motion to take this. I believe that it would do a disservice to the SA to remove this committee without having to. I think that we all have some great ideas about a better structure of having a committee specifically, but to remove this today, I think would be important. So I'd like to motion to table this.
Second.
Yeah, I guess in that case we're in the fairly well. I guess I would add that we're all directly elected. Don't get reluctant. We don't deserve one year for something. You only serve for a year. And I think, that provides accountability. I think that I already kind of mentioned attendance or the role where initially came in, which is actually the power of internal operation. After internal operation, it was interesting. But more recently, right? So,
thank you. So I actually didn't see the comment. So sorry. So it's able to go to coming. And then you have to reorder the staff. So yes, so this is about 100 classes people. If you are tabling.
Why would we have to do that? Not a body that needs to
find solutions to get the community to any impact whatsoever. To the point of reflected, I will merely try to help us bring racism on two people. Maybe it wasn't where it wasn't the text of race. Unopposed, thank you. So I think that's a great argument in theory when we're talking about other types of elections, but I think for us internally, it's important to keep accountability, especially given that while we are all serving for a year, there's a plenty of things to change. So I, for one of these, don't want to remove accountability.
Okay, everyone, so I'm going to have a lot of money to talk right now, so I'm going to give you questions and comments down here. Oh, I just want to ask another question. So, sorry. Oh, can I do that? Yes. Okay. So, since we're about to start the process of staffing your committees, and you said you're okay with having this committee just sit here for a week or two. So, does that mean you want to staff a chair and members in this week?
I honestly have no decision about staffing, it makes sense to staff a committee if we have it in person. I just think it's dangerous to kind of put it together. I believe the resolution at its heart of removing research and accountability of the committee is a good thing. I think that if the research and accountability has failed, it's failed. We should adjust that stuff. I don't think we don't have any great accountability for the university. It's a year for this, and it's a year for this. I also think in the previous discussion issues of the past and say accountability, it wouldn't make sense to do it on the basis of we could be
wrong. Yeah, I agree with you about some sort of third party. But the thing is, I just don't think it's fair to pretend like committee members to say, okay, you're going to sit on this committee for maybe two, maybe three, give the chair the same speech, and then just have them do with that.
I personally would rather have that than not have any set power. So if the issue then is, well, we have the staff committee, I think we're already in the process of staff committee, so we're already. Rather than that, than you get more accountable. I just need to get into this.
Okay, everyone, so if I hear people who want to speak, I'm going to start talking to you in 20 seconds. 20 seconds to talk to this. So we can get the people. Again, I would highly smile on a motion to table, to go into voting, something along those lines. We have 5 more resolutions for the now.
I thought we were already on a
so we have to see this okay, so we're at 20 seconds meeting camp. I will put on 20 seconds. I will go over to the tumble. Actually, can we make a motion to amend the agenda to put the next year now? Your resolution.
If we are currently in the process of considering this resolution, if we are going to amend or review the agenda in any way, we first have to have a table this vote or pass.
Very gotcha. Point on the parliamentary inquiry, what is the term for tabling temporarily, like for the same day?
Postpone until blank or postpone again.
Okay, motion to postpone this to be postponed another day. Should it say random time? Okay, not indefinite. Oh, all right, cool. Motion to postpone
indefinitely.
Okay, can I post? Oh, sorry.
I feel like this might indefinitely in this instance means that it's not definite when it will be taken up. That means it can be taken up by anyone at any time. The difference between a motion and postponement and indefinitely tabling requires an urgent basis that exceeds the table. So you have to table something for something that needs to be tested.
Oh, so okay, so if I can postpone indefinitely, I can bring this back up in like 30 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So motion postponement. By unanimous consent. Anyone have any consent? Perfect.
And then motion to amend the agenda to consider. Okay, yeah, let's move 15 and 16 above this.
Okay, so we have a second. Okay. Okay, so we are now at resolution number 15, the co-sponsors of the resolution to be now discussed.
So this resolution is basically is to call on the Office of Financial Aid to immediately release all financial aid that hasn't been released to students. It incorporates articles in the Sun as well as a petition of 50 students as of August 18th and signed, calling on financial aid to be released. A variety of problems that occurred to them due to their financial aid not being released. And the actionable clauses at the end, just basically adopting the 4 points of the petition that had been sent, creating more transparency on this process, preventing this sort of crisis from emerging again, making the submitted comments publicly accessible, and issuing an explanation to the entire committee. I'm going to let the other sponsors speak because they have had problems with their financial aid, and yeah, you guys can see.
Okay, I'll just speak quickly. So as long as along the lines of my financial aid, I think some of the parents experienced it. Mine came out after the first payment, which was week two. People had to start their payment plans early and had to pay large sums that might not have equated to what their financial aid was at the time, which caused a lot of financial stress. Additionally, financial aid provisions were not able to be submitted or returned because they were not available until literally August 10th, when people could have been planning out their to figure out how to pay for school. So I really want to call on Cornell to fix the situation because paying for college is one of the biggest stresses that students face, especially at such an expensive college like this. So I will pass it to the other sponsors.
I'm just attacking the point as a very similar situation as many of the other junior folks here. I would put out the point of this resolution really to show that the essay recognizes that students all financially on how initiatives on this campus that we need to make sure that the financial aid for students is met at an appropriate time so that we can appropriately these students report, you know, maybe it's really acknowledge that like you can learn this and this is kind of echoing that by showing that this is an important issue for all students, not just those who are financial aid students.
Just wanted to add that in case like the gravity of the situation. Trying to add further context that a lot of students, myself included, still have not received financial aid by the university, which is pretty messed up because for a lot of us, especially for people who live on campus, it's like the financial aid package from the university has to help with rent and things like that. So it becomes an issue along like just quality of life for a lot of people, especially on campus.
And I know this is a recurring problem from last year as well, in December, which is it puts a lot of students' like place on campus under threat. That should never happen at any point, given that these students were accepted to go here, and thus like the process should be expedited before we.
I think pretty much like said everything. I think the resolution was kind of about like what happened last year, where people got their coaching into like the month of December, right? So yeah, I think pretty much said everything. What's the question?
I want to recommend this, the sponsors for the work they've done on this, and I move the motion to vote by hand. Or I moved to end the previous question. Or end debate. I moved the previous question.
Before we do that, right? Yeah, I just kind
of. Or I'll draw the draft in.
Real quick, motion to amend by unanimous consent this resolution to add Duncan as official co-sponsor
and Nicole
as official co-sponsor of this resolution at the very end.
Second.
Okay, so just
I think it would be cool. So I know like the Hampshire office was really rushed. And thankfully they got my website very recently, but they like really messed up. They gave me like not to like say action number, but I think probably like you put 22,000 and they put 22,000. And therefore I didn't get any loans or anything or money offered to me. So maybe like if we could also urge them to like not only just like rush it, but also like maybe have some easy clearly else like I'll come up with their sub questions. So I don't know if you guys are looking for questions.
No.
I don't want to share that. Thank you.
Okay, so is there a question for that question?
No.
Representative
Romine? I have a question. A clarifying question, I guess, with the rules of the financial aid office. I guess I would just ask, I believe if financial aid is like, if you have a late payment, I believe they give like it's a 2% charge or something on how much you're supposed to pay. If I'm not mistaken, they do remove that, and they haven't seen in past years. So I just wanted to make sure that they're, you know, that's clear. They are
doing that.
Thank you.
Can I respond? Yes. Yeah, I know that also if you they'll give like refunds if you pay too much, but they were originally there would be a charge if you didn't pay for the first payment, and then they like fixed that, but it was like afterwards, and then you know that's not the best to see the record.
So okay, everyone, so our meeting is consent in 9 minutes, so I would highly smile on a motion to vote, but also motion to consent our meeting at least 15 minutes. Representative Eisen.
And motion to extend the meeting by 30 minutes.
Okay, we have a second. So just a clarification, if you okay, so now we are voting. All those in favor, raise your placards. Okay, all
Okay, so that passes, and with a vote of 6-2-3, we are deciding to take like 3 minutes to 7. Okay, so we are back in speaker system.
Point of information, did you say there is or is not a penalty for leaving early? We're just trying to hear your.
There is not a penalty, although if you do not have a yes. If you decide that you do have to leave at some point, please let me know. Or actually, please let Parse know just so we know that we're not.
When a parliamentary inquiry, members who do have to leave due to the time extension, are they still
eligible to proxy vote?
You can proxy vote on the
Again, thank you for bringing this resolution. I'd like to offer a petition, acknowledging that the speech is not only have a financial issue at the medical result of number 7, the requirement that the community department comply with the requirement by the speech and review committee. With a report to be presented to the student assembly by then, fall 2020. No objection.
Second. Or you should make an amendment.
That was an amendment.
I thought they
actually had it. Okay. So, second. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. okay, so now we're voting. All those in favor, Patricia Clackens. Okay, all those opposed, all those abstaining. Okay, that would be a vote of 20-0-1.
I move to unanimously approve resolution.
Second.
I move to unanimously approve resolution 15.
Perfect. Second. Okay. All those in favor. Perfect. The resolution has been unanimous. Okay, we are now seeing resolution 16, model 19 cases. The resolution is now.
If I carry a majority of what I have to say, and I have to leave an example of that meeting at 7, and possible.
That's the same here.
If I bring in a majority of what I have to say on this one, yeah.
I'm going to pass this for I'm trying to carry it.
If you vote before 2020, of course, do the formal way that works to give minimum amount
yes.
To be excused from meeting, and then if you vote about that, that would be that. Yeah, and then that can't happen to your friends.
Thank you.
Okay,
basically, it's just time for recommendations and protections for students. Given that they have the cases in one. Like, if you check on the website right now, there's over 300 cases, and we never had this many like that. So, do you have a time to make a solution? It's just calling for protections. say that the professor should have offered like two options or like makeup exams and stuff. For the students that are in the before we can do everything, I do want to get a man and to a guy who was sponsored.
So you do finish the sentence. Is that good? Sir. Is that
good? Great, yeah, yeah, it's okay.
Perfect. You have a second time. Perfect. Was that my hand's consent?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I would respond here upon the person who wrote my hand's consent. Okay, I'm consent. Perfect. Your resolution passes. Congratulations. Okay, so we will now.
Motion to amend the resolution of 11 first, just because it's required by the charter that is today. I stand by all these numbers, so I will explain them. Okay, so admin costs. Normally, historically, they spend about $2,000 or so on admin, so I kept that $2,000. Executive costs is for all of our internal functions and social events and all of those admin costs, like $5,000 or a little less than that. Communications is now $500. Lower that one. Initiatives is all of VP Balanza's initiative monthly programming that she has planned. Appropriations and meeting is usually about 3,000, usually overspent, so I made it 3,000. Internal operations, 250, elections, 750, dining, 250, diversity, 1500, IFC. Okay, that's a lot of numbers. Okay. Special projects is 15,000, and it's usually a little lower than that, but we're going to be on campus groups this time, so more and more will be able to see it, and it'll be listed as a funding source. And then the summer training grant, we're more than double that because students say that's the bigger thing that we do for them, and then it's also really underfunded, and that's all.
Yes. So Representative Roberton. Motion these please. Okay, any Representative
Lee.
Oh, Representative John?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I always wanted to make your thanks. Thank you very much for being a great job. I realized more, for example, the example in the air traffic control.
probation at 3,000, and if probation at usually 100 jobs and more jobs in dealing with operating candidates to deal with all the bilateral organizations, I wonder if that is possible for increasing the operation committee budget from 3,000 to 5,000.
Well, historically, appropriations committee gets like $2,500 when they always overspend, but I thought this now is a safe number. I don't think it needs to be higher than that. Representative Smith.
Yeah, so Mr. Mayor, we don't have my decision that was talking things tonight, but we haven't acted on it. I'm concerned with the research company material. So I don't know how the assembly wants to address that. I don't think that we should pass a budget so that we can get invented and actually committee at the federal level. So maybe we give them $50 or something like that. Maybe that's your opinion. But if they get it, go away and whatever, they get the money back. But if they don't, we can't have any more money.
So. All right, motion and non research and accountability to be $50.
Okay, all those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, the vote of 17 to 1 to 1 passes.
I move the previous question.
Okay. So we are now voting on resolution 11. I'll just ask a question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay. All those opposed. All those abstaining. Okay, in a vote of 19-0-1, that resolution passes. Okay, congratulations, Representative Baker, for the resolution process.
Can I motion to amend the agenda to place resolution 14, resolution 12 next?
That would be a motion to consider an issue out of order. Any of them specify what order you might take the agenda. So,
what Carson just said. discuss resolution 12 next.
Okay, give us a second. Okay, we have a consent to that.
Perfect.
Okay, so here we go. First, my motion amendment 41
to say 2022. 2021, and that already happened. So this resolution amends nomination committee's attendance guidelines. As you saw in the giant committee document, there's other amendments that we need there, but I made a new resolution just for this. So usually nomination committee offers seats to all of the senior SA members. You can read the language here. It says invites all. So they requested to change that and lower that and make it an actual number. So here it is 3, and that is the only change.
I have a last member's question.
How many people usually sit on the communication committee? I think usually 30. I mean, President O'Neill asked if that's okay.
Yeah, it's usually about 30. Okay, so I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm just curious if they gave you which reason you know why they wanted to be group members instead of because I know the class is only 50% back on the
right. Okay, I'll give some context. So for the past few years they've been trying to change this so it doesn't say all anymore, because if you have an essay with 15 seniors, then all of them basically have to be invited to be on that committee. So then that can make up half the committee's membership. And so that can make it inefficient and having all of those competing voices on the committee. And so limiting it to an exact number is what they have requested.
Representative Williams. Hi, yeah, so I was going to ask, like, how did they come to the number 3? And also, you said they requested an exact number, but it says at least 3. So that's also what I meant exactly.
Okay, so at the beginning of our discussions this summer, they requested 0. And so I personally. So they requested 0. And so I thought that was low. And so I countered with 6, but they thought that was high. So 3. It was the deciding number. And that is why it was written here.
I'm just going to speak for you on the next speaker. This has been a lot of conversation today. I'd like to thank Representative for being in all those conversations. They've been a lot and they've been hard. Just for some more clarification, like Representative Baker said earlier, the reason that they're doing this is because in the past, sometimes the contribution committee would basically be all outside members, and then it comes to a problem where members of the community don't feel like they're necessarily representing, but then today it gives us an opportunity to still have that same representation, especially since they're about our members.
I think that given that we are the student assembly and what we represent, we are elected by the entire student body, not just a specific group, a club, financial aid, or science nominated. We do represent the student body, and that's kind of like what the publication is kind of doing, is doing something for the students. So I think that, you know, 3 is not enough. In terms of if it's a 30-person committee, I think we should raise the number. I think we should have, let's say the president and our executive vice president is a senior, they should also be included aside from the 3 voting members that are on this. Let me just give some more context. By the way, so Anneli is our deputy president, and Anneli is already on the committee. She was invited to be on it. And then also, another one of the things that they brought up was that since we're essay and we're elected, then I mean they're in search for they said they wanted to have the opportunity to invite people from more diverse communities, and they don't think that since we're elected, they don't want us to be feeling privileged to be invited to the committee. So that was another one of the things that they brought up. I don't know if that helped at all.
Point of inquiry. Does the chair of the student assembly constitute as one of the 3 seats as outlined in this document, or is that separate?
Go ahead.
Okay, so right now how the conversation has been functioning is the president of class council is talking to the president of the student assembly together. I would will say that it might put conflicts if that's a company isn't senior. I've never seen that happen in my time at Cornell. I don't remember the last time that happened. So the way it stands, the way it's working, is the quality started to do that competition work, but would it include the senior members of the students? And I said, sorry, for the
Representative
Haney. More disappointing information. If the next meeting that is on our schedule that item C is different, I have a better team that is on item D, this resolution.
So the resolution for finance committee have voted on yet. I did not put that in this resolution just because we haven't put on the index. So this is the current language of the charter on this resolution 12.
Okay, so we're not meeting. So I'm asking for clarity. I just had a quick suggestion for Gina. Appendix B that's item C. We're not discussing that right now, correct?
No, but in the big appendix B resolution, I believe I removed.
I'll just wait.
Okay. Representative Williams. Sorry, just one more quick point of information. So when it says that the convocation committee is going to invite at least three people, so would the committee then be choosing which SA members they want to invite, or there is a sort of process to determine which senior SA members would be able to be on the committee? I guess this should be codified. My thought was that SA would internally pick people.
Yeah, so in discussions, they wanted combination term wanted to take the three SA members, which I would find problematic, and then you take people that you like. I actually took a motion to amend to replace at least three with the president and vice president of the student assembly. If any more vote are members of the senior class, and six voting members of the SA to be selected internally by the student assembly.
Does that specify that those six people are seniors?
The next time it comes right after that, the amount of ending says that belong to that classmate to work with somebody.
So do you need to vote now?
Yeah, second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we have consent? That's not okay, then you're voting on that amendment. Okay. That's unless you want to vote for it.
Oh, I motion to vote.
Okay, perfect. So, all those in favor? My votes. Okay, all those opposed? All those the same. Okay, so I'm gonna go second here. She got amendment passes. Representative Lieberman, can you repeat the amendment?
The president and vice president of the student assembly, and any four vote are members of the senior class, and six voting members of the student assembly to be selected internally by the student assembly. And I raised my platform because I knew the previous question to actually go on this.
Okay. All those in favor, please raise your platforms.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor, please raise your platforms.
May I ask for confirmation? Is this a resolution?
This is about a resolution to follow this amendment. All those opposed, all those abstaining, okay, I'm sorry.
Motion to divide the house. Motion to divide the house. Revote. Whatever's easier, I'll change it.
Okay,
question for Evo.
Okay, all those opposed, all those abstaining, Okay, I vote that 17-03, that resolution passes.
Motion to amend to do resolution 14, since it's the same topic.
Okay. Resolution 14. Do you have a second? Second. Do you want to make a second? Okay. This is resolution number 14, co-sponsored by the resolution.
So resolution 14 approves convocation committee's governing documents. So basically, convocation was under class council's governing documents. And so these are all either completely new or just things that were originally under class councils in the convocation section. So they're all attached. I don't think we see it. So I did want to make a change to the proposed governing documents. And so under Article 3, Section 4, there, it outlines membership requirements, limitations, and so I thought that it was a little much to have the chair be able to remove any member, and so I thought a way to reconcile with that was just crossing out Part C, because A, B, and D are all pretty objective, and so I think a single member could be able to remove people based on violating A, B, and D. But I thought C was different. And without writing in new measures, like having a two-thirds vote or something, I thought this was an easy fix. So that is what this does. It approves their government documents conditional on crossing out C.
I would really smile if we were having a motion to vote by unanimous consent. I can't read that.
This was because, well, I was going to just amend it during the meeting, but then I figured I had time, so I wrote it down. So I told them about it, and then their advisor answered and didn't mention it, said something else. He brought up the 2021 thing. But they know about it, but they didn't, like, say verbatim, cool, no.
Thank you. I actually voted on the amendment. Everything that was brought up at the last meeting or amended
how we wanted to be amended. And then I also removed everything that had to do with subwards because there is a provision in Appendix A of the charter that says SAF is tasked with 5% of our total SAF allotment. Thanks, Lucas Smith, for pointing that out. So because of that, it doesn't make sense to put this sub-organization clause into effect this semester because we can't amend Appendix A and lower that percent. So we will deal with that spring semester. But for now, everything else is just really plain and mission statements, clarifying language. Nothing else was really added. It's all pretty good, I guess.
Sorry, I think I found two little typos while reading through it, and I just wanted to point them out, but I'm very good for this document. So, under Outdoor Odyssey, Appendix B, Section 4, UII, I mean, this is small, but it says, so that it be no less than $20 and two zeros happen to some point. I
think
this
made
that too.
Oh, this actually wasn't me. So yeah, let's motion to amend Outdoor Odyssey's 20.000. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, this is the second one. We'll do it at the same time.
Yeah. So the second typo is under slope dead, so that's W. So it says so the slope day program is where the work on the community plan is promoted the slope day, but sort of on the Thursdays after the class is ended this break. Thursdays is plural. I believe there is one statement.
This also wasn't me. So, so okay, let's fix this. Okay. Forget the article.
And motion. I'm sorry, motion
to
an excuse. Thank you. Can I do the proxy vote or no?
The maximum on the list. So you have it right.
All right, so we are going to motion to amend new section 2, 20 to make it $20, and then motion at the same time. W, section 1. Say Thursday. There is no okay.
Sorry, just very similarly. Also in Outdoor Odyssey, so that's section 4, subsection U, point. Could say I, probably new was detected to a 6-3, but that's not the end. on the first line of that, it says Outdoor Odyssey, I essentially want to change. The different labels, I prefer if we could change that to for all students, regardless of ability status.
That's beautiful. So we're going to motion to amend to add that and $20 and Thursday.
And then by unanimous consent. Do we have any consent?
I just want to commend Representative Baker and Representative Weiderman for spending countless hours editing on all of these. And it's the guidelines. So, with that being said, the typos are fixed. I would like to form a motion to pass this Appendix B guidelines by the end of the
session. Perfect. That
motion
passed by unanimous consent.
Okay. Okay. Can I have a motion? Yes, motion to amend to consider resolution 1. Okay. I mean, not 11, no, it's
13.
We have 5 minutes, everyone. So I worked with Claudia and we got some amendments.
Okay, we have 3 minutes, so we're going to smile upon the motion to extend the debate by 10 minutes.
I motion to extend the debate. 10 minutes.
What? That would be 7 minutes. By 10 minutes, that would be 7:08.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, that would be 7:08.
What's your base?
Yes.
Resolution before that to do the exactly what
because I think that would be really great if we did it together. So if we give you, if the issue is that we should just we want to do it together, we should do it together at the same time.
Can I hear the other comments?
Point of information. I'm just curious if this resolution were to pass theoretically the research and accountability committee was dissolved, how would that affect the budget that was previously passed with $50 would be allocated elsewhere?
Yes. It would go to the reserve account.
Thank you.
Representative Sanchez.
I move to table resolution 13 to next week.
Okay. So all those in favor of the documents have paid.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.